Good morning. Any greetings that we have?
My mother sends greetings.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Cheryl sends greetings also.
And Brother Mike Smith is not able to come today. He woke up, there was a pain in his shoulder. He said he feels like it's on fire. And he had this before, and the doctor has prescribed medicine, and he wants to take that to try to get better.
So okay, thank you.
Just pray.
Yeah. And pray for Brother Mark also as he's preparing for his new treatment coming soon. And pray for Cheryl also. She wasn't feeling well either. Today we'll have lunch and then afternoon song service. And I was thinking we'd have used the blue folders, blue binders, since we haven't used them for a while. Quarterly mission focus is God on Missions. Please keep them in prayers. And thank you for any New Hope donations that came in. And for upcoming dates, this Wednesday, we start Wednesday night again, and Brother Fred Weinhardt will be here to lead that lesson. And then the next Wednesday, we'll start a series, and Brother Mike will be leading that. This coming Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., is the clothing swap here in church. And our prayer and hope is that all those clothes go away. We'll see. In 2 weeks, September 22nd, is the Ontario Sing in Windsor, Ontario. In 3 weeks, the trustees will be here for their meeting. And thank you for those who have offered to house the trustees. We will have a barbecue dinner that Saturday night for the church. I would think you should let us know if you're coming to that dinner so we know how much food to prepare. We know the guests. We want to know how many people from here are coming. In 4 weeks is the Syracuse outing. In 5 weeks is the Skyline Drive weekend, and Brother Phil will have the service there. So keep that in prayer for him. And in 6 weeks is the elder meeting in Toronto, Ontario. Anything else to announce? If not, please pray for Brother Frank as he has the service this morning. And let's prepare our hearts by singing hymn number 68, God is Present with Us, verses 1 and 2. 68, verses 1 and 2.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Let's begin with a prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you for being with us this morning. We thank you for your word that it shows us how we should live and those things that we go through in life, and it shows us how we need your help in all that we say and do, because you are the one who knows us even better than we ourselves. And thank you, Lord, for being with us, and thank you for providing for us. And we ask that as your word goes forth again, that it would be an honor and a glory unto you. And we just praise you for all that you say and that you do for us. And we ask that you would direct us and guide us in our lives here so that we can be pleasing in your sight. Lord, we thank you and praise you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to read from Psalm 69 this morning. And I'd like to read the whole psalm. Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters are come into my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on me, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. The reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul, they fasted, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was a song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I look for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their tables become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let thine eyes be darkened, that they see not, and make their loins continual to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. for they persecute me, whom thou hast smitten, and they talk of grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not the writing with the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor, and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion, and will bring the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there, and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. Now, David wrote many beautiful and joyful psalms, and many psalms that where he is comforted by the love and nearness of God. In this psalm, David expresses feelings of isolation and alienation and even hostility from those he comes in contact with, and it seems to be overwhelmed by all of these feelings. And so it looks like this is a psalm where he is describing his discouragement. And I know we all go through periods from time to time where we are discouraged, at least I do, and we can relate to that, and we can see how David is going through this. And David is seeing that others are judging him, and others are treating him. He feels like he's alone even in this, and we can sometimes see those feelings that we also have of sometimes we feel that we're alone. Yet he does call out to the Lord, and we should do that also. But in this psalm, he's describing in detail some of the feelings that he feels. Because in verse 1 and 2, he says, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire, and there is no standing. I am come unto deep waters where the floods overflow me." The feelings he has there that even this is affecting him, affecting his soul. His soul he's calling out to God because of that, and he's sinking in this, what he has no stability on his feet are in the mud, and he's like sinking into that. He can't even get a solid footing on things, and the waters are coming, and the floods are. That's the feeling that he has, that of this discouragement on that. And then he calls out unto God, and he's telling him that it seems like he's drowning in waters. It's getting deeper and deeper, and he feels like the standing in the mud, and that it would go down, and he would sink into the mud. And so he says in verse 3, "I'm weary of my crying, my throat is dried, mine eyes fail while I wait for God." It seems like his body is exhausted, and his throat is continually calling out unto God, and is said his throat is dry from calling out to that. And in this psalm, there are a lot of verses that are also in the New Testament, verses that are repeated in the New Testament, and I think this is one that is foreshadowing of how when Jesus on the cross was on the cross that he said, I thirst. And we can see that in John 19:28, where Jesus says that. And that's one of the foreshadowings that are in this psalm of verses that talk about that. And he's like giving a foreshadowing of what Jesus would do for us, that Jesus would even go to the cross for us, and that he would take upon himself my sin. And in doing that, it was an even more horrible experience for Jesus than it is that David is describing in this psalm here. And we can see that we can be thankful to Jesus that he would even go through such lengths for me as a sinner who have sinned against Jesus, and to know that he would go through all of those things so that, and he did that for all of us so that we could have a forgiveness of sins. And a lot of the things that are happening here are happening after David had sinned and sinned with Bathsheba and killed her husband, and he recognizes that he has sinned, and a lot of these things are happening because of that sin. And we can see that also in our own lives, that sin can, that when we do something wrong, there are consequences to that, and consequences that we might have to suffer through. Here is his calling out to God. He is calling out, and he's calling out again and again until his throat is dry. And then in verse 4 it says, "They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head, and they would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully. They are mighty, and I restored that which I took not away." And here he realizes that there are people who hate him and want to kill him, and they, even people without a valid cause, are coming, it seem to be against him, and he's experienced that in his life. And this is also like a foreshadowing of Jesus speaking of himself in John 15:25. It said, "But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." So this is like Christ doing a fulfillment of what David is saying in this psalm, and Jesus, but some of these things came upon David because of the sins that he did. But in Jesus' case, he didn't do any sin. There was no sin upon him. And yet he went through this. He went through the agony that he was going through. And he was hated of other people. There were many people that were speaking against Jesus and wanted him dead, and wanted to do away with him because of the things that he was speaking, and how they were looking at that as Jesus was taking upon himself the form of God. But Jesus was God. Jesus was a deity, and he was the one that was doing that to pay for my sin, pay for the sins that I have committed. And Jesus, people who hated Jesus wanted him dead, and so it was that there were people that wanted David dead also, that they were against him. And here he's saying that they simply hated him and wanted to kill him without a cause. And he says, then even then I restored that which I took not away. And I think there he's talking about that that David had twice, when he was running away from Saul because Saul wanted to kill him, there were two times that where he was hiding in a cave and was able to, and Saul was there, was sleeping in the cave, and there he had the opportunity to kill his enemy, the one who was coming against him and wanted to be so he had that opportunity, and the people with David even said, this is God presenting you with the opportunity to kill your enemy, to kill Saul. And David didn't do that. He knew that God had anointed Saul as king, and he wasn't going to take it into his own hands to kill the person that God had anointed, and so he spared Saul's life. And so David didn't harm the person who was coming out to kill him. That Saul was coming to do away with David, and David had that opportunity to kill Saul instead, but he didn't do that. And then it's that David showed mercy on Saul by not taking his life. And Jesus also showed mercy upon us. And in Romans 5:8 it says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Christ was willing to go to the cross and die to pay the price for my sin so that I could be forgiven. And Christ was there to pay for the sins of all of us. And he willingly did that. He willingly went to the cross, even though it was an agony for him. We see that in the garden when he was praying he even asked if it were possible to take this away from him, but he says, "Not my will be done, but thy will be done." And knowing that this was the plan of salvation, so that we could be saved, so that we could be forgiven of our sins, and Christ did that to show mercy unto each one of us, and we have to thank him for that. And in verse 5 of the psalm it says, "O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee." David knew that what he had done were sins, and that God knew about that. God knew those sins, and knew that even though that sin of adultery with Bathsheba and the plot that David conceived to kill her husband Uriah, even though David tried to hide that and tried to call Uriah and have him come, and he wanted to make it so that that Uriah would be Bathsheba was with child, and that he wanted Uriah to come and to be with her, but Uriah didn't do that. And in that he tried to hide the things that he did. But we can't hide anything from God. God knows everything, and we have to confess the things that the sins that we have. And we don't confess them because we have to say that to God so God knows it. God knows it already. God knows what we've done. And but we have to confess to show that we are willing to understand that, yes, we have sinned. And that sin is a very serious thing. And that sin is something that we have to deal with, and that we have to come unto God and ask for his mercy and his grace so that those sins could be forgiven. And sometimes we even have to go unto others and confess the sins that we have done against them, just to show how willing we are to have a changed life, to have God to come within us and God to dwell within us and to have His Holy Spirit within us. That's something amazing that we can't even really comprehend with our own minds. But we know we can't hide anything from God. God already knows that, and we have to confess it more of our need to confess rather than because we're telling God, we're not giving Him any new information. He already knows that. And so it's for our own sake that we have to do the confession. And David was also concerned that his wrong choices, that those sins that he did would have an effect on others. And he says in verse 6, "Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not them that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel." This is showing that hearing that David had done such a thing would really be a something that others wouldn't really understand and would blame him for and could blame him for because he had done those things. And so David was even concerned about that others would hear that, and this is something that others might be also discouraged by, that here was David, who was called a man after the heart of God, and he has committed a sin, and it could be discouraging to other people to hear that, to someone who God has loved and someone who God has been with was now saying that he did those sins, and that and I think we need to do that also. Sometimes we need we need to pray that those sins and those errors which I do would be forgiven, and even that it wouldn't have a negative effect on others. And we need to ask God for forgiveness, knowing that God already has a plan in place for forgiveness, but we have to realize the mercy that comes from God to be able to have sins forgiven. And also there are times that I need to ask others for forgiveness. If I have done something wrong to someone else, I need to ask others just so I get an idea of what it is to confess those sins and what it's like to have the willingness to have God take away those sins and God to come in and to have a changed heart, to know the great mercy of God has to be able to forgive the sins. And in verse 8 he says, "I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children." Now, after the adultery with Bathsheba, the son that she had in this incident, that son died. And we can see how David had prayed that son would live, and how he was totally into that he wouldn't eat or drink or wouldn't do anything, praying that son would live, but that son died. And then even three of his other sons, Ammon, Absalom, and Adonijah, all died prematurely. And so we see the results of that sin was affecting David's own family and how they would treat that. And And in verse 9 he says, "For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me." And parts of this voice are quoted in the New Testament also. And in John 2:17, when Jesus turned over the money changers, he said, and his disciples remembered that it was written, "The zeal of thine house had eaten me up." That this is a foreshadowing of that offense. And when it refers to the criticism and mockery of Jesus, it's really not. If people would want to criticize Jesus, they're really criticizing God, because Jesus is deity. We can see that in Romans 15:3. "For even Christ pleased not himself, but it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me." He is taking that sin upon himself so that he could pay the price and the penalty for that. And we see that David even calls on God to deliver him from this discouragement, and that those who would make him feel discouraged. And in verse 13 it says, "But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon thee. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of thine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach had broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness, and look for some to take pity. But there was none, and for comforters, but I found none." Even he's presenting this whole situation, David is presenting this whole situation to God, and is begging God to take him out of this discouragement, so that and we can see that even in the Old Testament, David had this relationship with God. He was able to speak to God and to come unto him with any situation. And we also need a close relationship with Jesus to overcome discouragements. And in 2 Corinthians 4:14 through 18, we read this: "Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall rise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace which might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And sometimes I just struggle with discouragement. Sometimes things don't go how I thought they would, or sometimes things just appear different, or sometimes even people tend to judge us on not only on what we say and what we do, but what they also hear other people say about us, or situations that they think that we have done, and sometimes they in their minds they're presenting things according to the way that they see things, not according to what really happened. And we we need other believers to help to pray for us, to so that when we go through times of discouragement, that it's something that we want to have. We want to have it taken care of as quickly as possible. But sometimes God allows things to come so that we would learn and that we would have a closer relationship with Jesus. And to so sometimes when those things look like that discouragement looked to him like a mountain that he has to climb, that he this is impossible for him to do. And sometimes we need to see that that when God gives us some situations, that it's so that we draw closer to him, so that we come unto him, and we let him work within our hearts. And in Eastern Camp this year, the Schlarker girls sang a song, and the song is called, "Lord, Don't Move My Mountain, But Give Me Strength to Climb." And I think that sometimes we need that mountain to show that we really are devoted to God, that we would do anything for God. And I'm just going to read the words to that song. "Lord, here I am again, down on my knees in prayer. And Lord, you promised me you would always meet me there. Now there's a mountain up ahead that I can't seem to climb, but I'm praying for the strength to try it one more time. Lord, don't move that mountain. Just give me strength to climb. For if you should move each mountain, I might grow weaker every time. And just like your son, Jesus took the cross at Calvary's hill. Lord, don't move that mountain so I may better do your will. Now, if I had no mountains, Lord, I might forget to pray. And if there were no trials, well, I might even stray. But I know the higher the mountain, the sweeter the victory. Lord, ever remind me you will walk beside me. Oh, Lord, don't move that mountain. Just give me strength to climb. For if you should move each mountain, I might grow weaker every time. And just as your son Jesus took the cross at Calvary's hill, Lord, don't move that mountain so I may better do your will. Lord, don't move that mountain so I may better do your will." And I think it's a different way of looking at that, seeing that those trials are something that would draw us closer to God. When we go through those trials and when we go through those discouragements, it's something that should move us closer to God, and that should bring us closer in prayer to God, and sometimes also we have to ask others to pray for us, that to know that we're going through situations, and to pray for us. But here we see that sometimes God puts us in situations that we need He needs to show us how much we need him, how much he has done for us, and what we are willing to do for him, and that others may see also that the mercy of God is really so great, and that it's things that we see as mountains, we have to draw closer to God so that we can do it according to his will and to his way. And that song is talking about that those are situations that do draw us closer to God, that show us our dependence on God and what he has done. And I think that's a message that I would have to apply to my life also, and to see that even when we go through trials and when we go through disappointments, that we can bring it before God, and it's something that will draw us closer to God. And I pray that we would take those disappointments very seriously, and take those times that we are when we have feelings like he had of being overwhelmed with things, like it's almost like he's going to drown. And we bring that to God, and to bring that to him in prayer, and to be able to do whatever he would ask. And I think we need that closeness to God every day. We need to draw close to God in all that we say and do, so that we are ready to face those, and then that he will give us strength to do that. May the Lord bless his word.
Thank you, brothers Phil and Frank, for leading us this morning in class and in our worship service. And let's arise to pray. Father, we thank you for this time here that we have learned about how we need to allow your spirit to control us, so that we that self-control, that temperance that we need, can only be done by your Holy Spirit. And also, when we get discouraged and things don't go the way we want them to go, we need to come to you in prayer to bring them to you, to bring them to the throne of the Father, to just pour out our hearts when things go wrong. And when we have sinned, we also need to come before you and confess and turn from that sin. And we thank you for the example that our Lord Jesus gave us, that when he needed to deal with situations, he went to you in prayer, all night in prayer, because it was hurting him, whatever was going on, and he needed to bring it to you. We pray for our loved ones that are not here, those that are traveling, be with them. And pray for Brother Mark, Sister Cheryl, and Brother Mike as they're going through some medical issues. Watch over them and care for them, and may we assist them wherever we can. We also thank you now for the food that we'll be eating soon, that you prepare, bless the hands that have prepared it, and especially the fellowship around the tables, and then a song service this afternoon. May you, Lord Jesus, be glorified in our lives, and we pray this in your holy name. Amen.